Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Add In Chapters podcast. And today is Valentine's Day. So happy Valentine's Day to all our listeners. And I wish you the best and a beautiful day filled with love and whatever love looks like to you. Just enjoy your day. And remember, give love, show love, but also love on yourself. But today, I'm excited, guys. Today is the big day. If you're following me on Instagram or Facebook or TikTok, you know that I'm super excited because I decided what better way to celebrate Valentine's Day but to talk to someone that has overcome so much and is filled with so much love. And she's just, I can't say it. She's like a powerhouse. She's just amazing. She's an incredible individual, and she just has a lot of love. So I wanted to catch up with her and find out how is this, you know, how is Amanda having to go through so many obstacles, you know, is filled with so much love? Because sometimes we talk about it and we're like, love? We don't have love this season because we're going through so much, but she's amazing. And without further ado, let me go ahead, guys, and let's give her an Add In Chapter welcome. Welcome, Miss Amanda.
And the crowd goes wild.
Yes. You know, one day we're going to do this where we videotape these interviews.
That would be cool.
I know. It would be cool because you're looking beautiful today.
Thank you. Happy Valentine's Day.
Aw, thank you. So thank you so much for agreeing to sit down and talk to us today, because I think that, you know, it's so important for everyone to know that love's looks different to everyone, right?
This is true.
And let's, before we get into the deep stuff, because you know how I get, because we're unedited here on Add In Chapters, and so we go all over the place, and we do 360s, and we come back, but why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to the audience? Who's Amanda?
So, I'm Amanda. They call me Panda. I'm 33. I'm a two-time cancer survivor of leukemia.
Yes.
And then I had a bone marrow transplant in 2015. And I'm an athlete, and I'm a free spirit. So, you know, I'm very bubbly, very excited, love to spread love everywhere, because life is short.
Yes, and guys, if you ever meet her, you will know when she says, I'm bubbly, it means she does not drink coffee, and she is like an energizer bunny.
High on life.
High on life. Oh, that is so good, and that is correct. And I met you, what is it, like 2 years now?
Yeah, God, it's been two and a half. It's about that, yeah.
Oh my goodness, it's been 2 years. That's crazy. I don't look too old, right?
No, you look good, girl. Okay, what don't crack.
Okay, but no, it's been 2 years, and I literally remember when I met you. I'm like, oh my God, she's filled with so much zest, you know, and you have this character around you, about you, that is so amazing. You are so welcoming. You're very warm, and it was so easy to talk to you. And I know we share, you know, our stories, you know, being in the cancer world, but I don't ever that story is so powerful. Can you just tell the audience a little bit about what it was like to be diagnosed with cancer, that word that everyone takes as final? Twice, girl, you're like a Ali up in here. You taking what? You kicking doors, taking notes.
I'm
amazing.
Kicking doors. I'm busting them open. I'm throwing the bombs in there. Let it explode.
What year? Start with what year were you diagnosed? Because I think it's super important because you're so young.
So I was diagnosed. My first time was 2010. I was 21 at the time. And I was a track runner. I was in college. It was my junior year, my end of my junior year, going into my senior year, when I was diagnosed. And then a couple of things happened: shoulder pain, bone pain, all kind of stuff was starting to happen. And I went to the doctor like 3 times, and they just kept saying, "You're an athlete. You're doing too much. Just rest." And then, you know, your mom kicks in, and she's like, "You should go." And I'm like, "I'm just fine." But, you know, eventually I took her advice, and I went in. And then, long story short, found out that I had leukemia. And then after that, we went through treatment. That was the day before Mother's Day. So aww. I felt really bad because I was like, "Mommy, I'm so sorry I ruined your Mother's Day." And she was like, "Stop talking like that." And like, we're big on faith. So we all have a personal relationship with God. And so my mom was like, "We're going to pray about it and we're going to let it go." Literally, that's what I did. And people who came in my room crying and whatnot, I was kicking them out. Like, literally, I was like, "You crying? Do you see me crying? Oh, we ain't doing this. You get out. If you don't got gummy bears, nail polish, movies, I don't want you in my room." And so that was the rule. And I just prayed. I kept worship music in my ears and prayed. And that's how I got through it. Unfortunately, I relapsed in 2015. After I had just got myself back in shape, I was back on the track. The first time I finished intensive chemotherapy while I was doing my finishing up UCF, and I had to do both of those together. And I didn't have the option of doing it remote. I had to be in class to do it. So bald and all, getting sick in the back of the classroom, I still finished my degree. And then after that, I was back on my feet, and I was on the track one day and I tripped. And I started feeling symptoms I felt the first time around when I was diagnosed with cancer. And then, unfortunately, I relapsed again. I was feeling the same things. I was going to the doctors. Mind me, I did a blood work. Blood work came out clean, and they said there was nothing wrong. But I knew something was wrong, so I went to the one person who I knew would trust me and would believe me, which was a nurse who took care of me previously. And I was like, "Can I get a bone biopsy and a spinal tap?" She was like, "You sure you want to do this?" I was like, "This is the only way I'm going to know. And it'll ease my mind if there's nothing wrong." Right. So that day I went in, I literally put in some gospel music. And I remember listening to "Withhold Nothing" by William McDowell.
Love that song.
Yes. And I put it in my ears, and literally they put me to sleep. Because previously, when I was getting my bone biopsies, they weren't putting me to sleep.
Right.
Felt like someone was ripping bone out my butt.
Ugh.
I was trying to put that in a nice way. Really, bone out my ass. But so they put me in a little twilight, and I just remember worshiping. And I remember at one point, I was awake, but I wasn't awake, but I felt myself losing control, and I literally heard this small voice say, "Just keep worshiping me. I'm going to get you through. Keep worshiping." It always brings me to tears, aww, right? So,
you're making me cry.
So then after that, I remember waking up, and the nurse was like, "I've never seen someone worship God the way you did going through all that you're going through right now." My nurse was like, "You're going to get your results back in a week." And the next day I got those results back, and I had relapsed. And I never felt sorry for myself. I wasn't like, "Why me? Why not?" I never asked those questions. It just never came. Everything happens for a reason. So I didn't take that as "why me? Poor me." It was just keep living, do what you have to do, and keep moving forward. And that's what I did. Of course, I kept kicking people out of my room. This time it was harder, I'm not going to lie, because I knew what I was expecting. I had to redo everything, chemotherapy, intensive chemo. And this time they really hit me with everything they got. I mean, everything. And then with my bone marrow transplant, it was much worse. There were times that I was sad, but I also kept working out as much as I could while I still had the energy. So I was still pole dancing for fitness. I was still going to yoga. I was still walking. I was still doing a whole bunch of stuff and encouraging others as I was going through it. I mean, there was a time where there was 3 people in our group that had got diagnosed with cancer. So it was my uncle, and then it was my mom's friend, and then it was me. And so I was encouraging everybody as I was going through my own stuff as well. It was a lot.
It sounds like a lot, but you are so strong. That story is like, gives me chills. And you know, that's, today is not the first time I've heard it, because being an advocate for bone marrow transplant and stem cell transplant, that's how we came across, our path crossed, right? But I think everything happens for a reason. And every time I hear that story, the one thing that kind of stands out the most with me is that you were like, I never questioned God and I never felt sorry for myself.
Yeah, no.
That's incredible, too. Because, I mean, I hit my toe, and I'm like, why? Why? You know, and you know, like, you're having bad days, and you're just like, oh, my goodness, this day is horrible. My life is horrible. And you are, like, two-time battling, surviving, going through something that I watched my mom go through it. I know it's difficult. Yeah. You know, I cannot imagine you just having this positive attitude, upbeat.
I pretty much stayed that way. I mean, not to say that I didn't have my bad days. I just didn't dwell in them. I would feel, and then I'd pick up. I would go dance or whatnot. And then if I was really, really down, I'm getting on my hands and knees, and I'm praying and I'm worshiping God. Like, I'm going to the Father. Like, help me, because I need the strength right now. Yeah. And it's the only way I'm going to get through. God. But it wasn't, I don't know. So I find it strange, in a way, when I hear other cancer patients say, why me, or they get into that spot and they can't pull themselves out, and I'm like, but you got me and I've been through it, so we gonna do this together. Aww. Right? So like, I, but
you're such a love.
Yeah,
you're such a symbolic
I mean like,
you're a symbol of love. You're just incredible, Amanda. Where everyone that comes in your path is blessed to know you, because you're so incredible and you're so powerful. You're like a powerhouse. Your body's small, your frame, but you are loud and powerful.
What is that saying? They say, oh, you know, the small, big things come in small packages, okay?
Yes, I believe it. Because you are, from I met you, you were like, okay, put me on the front line, coach. Tell me what to do. We're going to do this. And, you know, I was working on a big campaign at the time, and that's where you met my sister. And
yes.
You came out, and you're like, what do we have to do? You know, I want to share my story. I want to save lives. And, you know, not for nothing, but a lot of times people go through something so traumatic as you have, and they walk away. And it doesn't make them a bad person.
No.
It's just that they can't operate in that space anymore. So they need to move. But you kind of like, you went through yours. You walked through your fire, honey.
I mean, I'm the opposite a lot. I'm the opposite of a lot of people. So I see where I came from, and I look back and I see that there's other people still back there. And how dare I, or how dare, I feel like it's an insult. Just personally to me, I feel like it's an insult that if I don't go back and help other people who've been in that situation, because I know when I was in active treatment, there was stuff that I needed that I couldn't find anywhere else. And so I said when I got better, I'd be that need for the person who's going through active treatment, that need that I didn't have. And I can't help but go back, because I can't forget where I came from, because I was on death's bed, and there was a point where I couldn't go outside, I couldn't do anything but just try to heal and whatnot. And now that I can, I have to go back and show people, yo, I've been through it, not once but twice. This is what I look like now. That I still have my moments of traumatizing, because it was traumatizing. Oh, but I have to go back. I can't not help somebody. I can't go, someone help me and I go live my life and not go back and help the others.
That's powerful, and I love that, because that's probably what brought us in the same circle. Because I'm like the same, you know. I'm like, oh, I had to watch my mom go through this, let me get in here, you know, so I could relate to that. But you went through that. That was a part of your life. You walk your fire. You walk your fire, girl. I don't even want to see those shoes you wore. I'm like, you have walked your fire. Like, you know how someone says you walked your season?
Yes.
Honey, you walked your fire. And I am so amazed by your strength. So I am catching you pretty much on a little light workout jog, because you do that all the time,
yes,
right? So we're doing this outdoors, so please excuse any additional noise. But you know that Add In Chapters, we just don't edit. It's what it is,
organic.
Right? I call it, you can't make life perfect all the time.
This is
true. You have to roll with the punches. So tell us now that you've gone through cancer, you're a survivor, you've gone in and you've, you know, I've worked with you. I know that you've helped save thousands of lives, you know, just like you. And tell us, just before we move on from that chapter of your life, tell us just a little bit about the transplant, because I want my audience to know I advocate a lot for cancer patients, and it's so difficult because you're a minority to find a match. And when you told me about your match, wasn't I blown away? I was like,
oh yes.
I was like, what? You got 100%?
Yes, I got 100%, which is very rare for African Americans to get. Not only did I get one, but I got three. And it's only by the grace of God that I got any of these matches. But yes, I got 100%. I wish I could have met my donor. I'm still trying, but that hasn't happened yet. But one day we'll do that. The whole transplant process, I'm not gonna lie, it was hard. There was a lot to go through. There was a lot to try to match people, hearing the statistics of.
Okay, so just a little apology because we got disconnected here for a second, but we'll start back at the transplant. You were describing how difficult it was to find a match for you.
Yes, it's very difficult for African Americans to find a 100% match. You know, we're really much a melting pot. We're like a little bit of everything. But yeah, I was blessed to get three perfect matches. And my bone marrow went well. Although going through the process, it was a lot of reactions, a lot of being sick. I mean, everything you could think, like all a shame went out the window. Like, let's just be honest, like TMI, I don't know, but I mean, I pooped on myself, I threw up on myself, like anything and everything that could go wrong, it went that way.
You're in survival mode.
Yeah, and then at one point all the stuff that was going on. I mean, I had a 103 fever for a good month. I couldn't break it. And at one point, they thought I was going to relapse. And I literally looked at the doctor and I said, God told me I'm healed. I'm not worried about
Amen.
It. He looked at me crazy, though. He literally looked at me crazy. I said, no. You don't understand. I heard it. I know. I'm sticking to what I know and heard. Yes. He said I'd be okay as long as I keep worshiping and keeping my faith in him. That's all I need.
Wow. That's incredible, though. It's such a blessing that you had three matches. Because it's unheard of, really.
Yeah.
It's, you know, with all the campaigns that you've assisted me with, it's so hard for African American to even find one match.
Extremely.
And same thing happened to my mom. We were unable to find a match. So it's truly just a walk of faith and just a blessing that you were able to do that. And I just thank you so much for being honest and sharing that part of your life. Because I'm tearing up. Yeah. You're tearing up. Because it's such a powerful story, you know. And that's what led me into the whole love today. Because I just hearing what you went through and just the kind of person you are, how loving and thoughtful and caring you are for those around you.
Yeah.
Like, I want to know, after you've walked through that fire, like, what was next for Amanda?
Honestly, I just wanted to just start living, just live and making opportunities for others. I definitely went back and started volunteering for the Ronald McDonald House. I'm an ambassador at Moffitt Cancer Center for the young adults. I do a lot in the cancer community, but I also mix it with fitness. So I'm always down to help other cancer patients who want to get fit, whether they're pre, post, active treatment. You know, I can cater to that. I'm a big supporter of people. So I don't really like being in the front of the stage, if you want to say. I like being behind scenes and just being that cheerleader, like, you got this, girl.
Glad I see you. All right, all right.
And it's okay. We all need cheerleaders. Yes. I love being a cheerleader, yes, too. So, yes. See, we share that. Yes, we share that. I'm always cheering people on. So, that's pretty cool. So, you didn't want to be in front of the scenes. Let's back up a little bit because you like to be a cheerleader. But I've been seeing your Instagram, and you are definitely not behind the scenes. I'm just saying. So, you know, I did a little stalking, but, and you were talking me into a pole dance class today.
Yeah, you should do it. Like, I don't know why you're playing with me. You should do it.
But I want you to tell, because I look at you taking what you went through, and it's like you balled it up. And it became like a firecracker. It's like, listen, I'm here and I'm going to shake this world up because I have something to say. I want you to listen to me. And on top of it, I have to save lives. But you are also doing such a good job at self-love and self-care. So tell us when you got into the whole pole dancing.
So
you're good. You're good. You're good. You're going to have to share your IG page so they can go stalk you too.
Honestly, I got into it because I was running track for 15, 16 years. My goal, I wanted to try out for the Olympics, but after this whole cancer thing and doing it twice and rebuilding myself, my body couldn't take it anymore. And so I wanted to do something fun, not necessarily so strenuous in the gym, running and everything else. And one day I just thought, I saw a pole studio and I was like, yo, that might be good. Like I could get back in shape. But I also dealt with some confidence issues as far as losing my hair and just gaining weight, losing weight. The hair really wasn't a big deal because I knew it'd come back. And I mean, I didn't mind the bald look either. Like I was
you
like,
you rocked it. I was seen
like,
some pictures.
Throw some makeup on, put these ears on. Okay, we gonna do this. You know, shake the hair. We don't have no hair, but it's okay. We gonna act like we have hair.
Don't worry, I've seen some pictures. You're gorgeous. Go
thank
ahead.
Thank you, thank you. But I did lack some confidence, just because of everything that I was going through. The bone marrow transplant. I don't know what it's called, but my skin got extremely, extremely dark. Which I mean, I'm not hitting on nobody with dark, beautiful, lovely. I mean, beautiful skin. You guys go out and glow, okay? But this was like a dark, like I was sick, dark.
Yeah,
like
I can understand.
So it had taken a hit to my confidence, and so that, and just trying to get back in shape, I figured why not try something new? Pole fitness. There's no cap to it. You always have something to learn. You get strong. You build abs. I get my confidence back because I put a little sexiness in it with the heels.
I was waiting for you to say you brought the sexy back.
Bring the sexy back with the heels, the pole, the flipping of the hair. And, like, it's just a whole combination. I just feel like I'm an athlete. I can do amazing things, but be graceful and feminine, strong, sexy, courageous, brave. And there's, like, a whole community in itself at the pole studio as well. That's why I'm trying to get you, Debian. You keep playing with me, but you should do this.
Oh, I know. I know. I'm going for a class today.
Yes.
We're gonna go. We're gonna go. I promise. You know, don't report back though. It's a secret.
Okay.
No, but I was glad that you said the sexy because isn't it amazing when we feel sexy as a woman?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily waiting for someone to validate our sexy, but when it's like inward. And
know, and then it shows. And then it glows.
I know. And you are definitely glowing, my friend. You are glowing. Because there's some heels you wear. I'm like, did you get classes on walking in those heels? I barely could walk in 3 inch without falling over.
Look, it takes time. Okay, I sometimes call it the ghost, that kicks that ankle out. You pop and you go, oh wait a minute, and grab a wall. But then after a while, you get used to it and like you build the strength in your ankles. I mean, if you want to pole and you want to use heels, I suggest that you do like boots first, just so you have that ankle support.
Awesome.
And start with 6 or 7 and then build it up, because I stayed at 7 inch for a little bit, then I went to the 8s, and now I love the 8s, and then I have some 9 inches. I don't really pole with those too much. I stay on the floor because those are really tall. They make me look like a giraffe. So
you're tall. You're naturally tall.
But I'm only 5'3", though. I'm so short.
Maybe because I'm so short, right? I feel like every time I see you, I'm looking up. But no, those heels are in itself, like, to me is magical, because I would never, I could never. Like, my friend told me, make sure I get some tricks. She's like, oh, you got to learn something today. I know, but so talk about, you know, we talked about the sexy, because, you know, after cancer, the sexy.
Yes, bring it back.
Yes, you brought it back. You brought it back. And then the confidence. Like, how do you work on that? How do you work on, you know, not seeing yourself as sick Amanda, but the Amanda that commands the present when she walks in a room? How do you work on that?
Honestly, after my bone marrow transplant, I did go through a little depression, and it got to a point where one day I was like, enough is enough. And I had to stand in the mirror. I literally had to talk with God, stand in the mirror, because I gained all this weight and whatnot. And I was like, enough is enough. We need to do something. So I just got back in shape. I started doing words of affirmation. So I wrote a list down, and every day I still read this list with Bible verses, and a mixture of Bible verses and just stuff like, I am strong, I'm beautiful, I'm confident, I have a backbone. And then I'll go into like verses like the renewing of our minds, transforming the renewing of our minds and stuff like that. And I repeat that to myself, and I also just do a little bit of journaling, but also walking and just working on character and integrity. I feel like those two things will go a long way. If anything, forget the money, forget everything else. That integrity and character is a big thing. It will go with you for a long way. And even in the Bible, it says a good name, a man's good name. I can't remember it off the top of my head, but I know it's a man's good name is wealth.
That's important. That's probably why I'm so driven on, hey, don't mess my name up.
I mean, for real.
Don't tie my name to nothing. No, but I get it. But that's so good. That is so good. Because I believe that, you know how I say on my podcast a lot of times that no one's coming to save you. You have to save yourself.
Yeah, no, being Captain Save-A-Ho.
We don't cancel that out. But isn't it like, it's so true for so many things in life, right?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we don't want to dig ourselves out of the hole.
Yeah.
So you dug yourself out of the hole. You, to me, have climbed a mountain. You're on top of the mountain. You're actually showing the pathway to it for, you know, fellow cancer survivors, patients, anyone that's going through it.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm here to help you. And you'll have to share your IG, because just in the event that someone is, you know, going through cancer and they're looking for support, I think you're an incredible, you know, advocate and can be of resources for them. So definitely you have to share your IG. But, you know, the self-love is the bomb. Hey. I see it. The confidence is the bomb, girl, because your IG pictures are lit. They're beautiful. They're beautiful. My son will be like, don't use that word.
No, use it. Use it. We lit. We lit.
Yeah, but so you are like, I would look at you and not even know your story. Like, if I didn't know you personal, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. I would look at you and not know your story. And people might look at you and not know your story, because you're in a space in your season that you've gone through so much and you've come out of it. Mm-hmm. And isn't there a saying that says, thank God I don't look like what I've been through?
I used to, yes.
And so, but what do you have to say to those that are not at your level? Not they haven't walked through their season yet. A word of advice for someone that is in the fire?
I mean, if you're in the fire, definitely find community. There's a lot of support groups out there. I like them, but I sometimes don't, because you have to pick the right support system. Not every support system is right for everyone. But I pick and choose just to find a community or find someone who you can confide in, just to have that support, so you know that you're not alone. Definitely with somebody that may be going through the same thing as you, but be careful, tread lightly, because they're still going through their stuff as well. But just you guys being together, knowing, because, you know, I don't wish cancer on anybody, but if the only way somebody will truly understand what you're going through is if someone's also gone through it too.
Yeah.
So community, right. I would say community, and then go ahead and feel what you need to feel, but don't dwell in it. Like,
don't sit in it.
Don't sit there.
That's great advice. Because it's hard sometimes to get out of your puddles.
And that's why you need the community.
That's true. Community are incredible. And we as women, I always advocate, like, we have to support each other.
Yes.
We have to be a pillar of sisterhood for each other.
I agree.
And it's so important to help each other get through different things in life, because everyone, pain looks different. Everyone loves looks different. So, yeah. You know, it's super, super excited to catch up with you and hear about all the things that you are going through,
yeah,
and that you have survived, and, you know, and what you're doing for others. Because you're like a walking billboard, like, hey, I want to be like Amanda. I want to, because I'm like, if pole dance got you like that, girl, I signed up.
I'm trying to travel like you, Debbie. I'm trying to travel like you.
You are doing so, so well. And I just love you and I adore you because, you know, you're so energized and you just give so much love. And today is the day of love. Oh, and I just know that your story is going to help someone. I know someone is listening to this podcast or is going to share this information with someone that needs to know that they too could go through this and come out and be in their 8-inch heels hanging from a pole. You know,
yes.
We're not there yet.
I need a whole squad like that. Getting by, I'm recruiting people. Come on now, don't be scared.
A whole cheerleading squad, yeah, right?
I don't want the cheerleading squad. I need you all to be polling with me.
I know, you should. But honestly, what's the next step for you? Because I could see you teaching. I could see you, I'm sure, the support system, creating a community for cancer patient is on your list, because there's so much to you though. Tell me, because I could tell you all the stuff I see you doing, because, you know, we're friends, and I've spent 2 years working alongside you and advocating. So, but you tell me, what does it look like for Amanda next? Should I say next chapter? Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
That's okay.
Fair. That's
so
fair.
So, what it looks like?
Honestly,
tell the audience.
I want to create a foundation for young adults going through cancer. There's a lot that they go through that doesn't get addressed. So oncologists are really good with young adults of taking care of the cancer part. But post-cancer is hard on its own as well. Like, it's really hard. So I want to build a community where, I don't know, maybe post-treatment, post-cancer, AYA, I don't know. I'd like to call it something like that, where a community can come together and get back in shape and get their confidence back, but also deal with the side effects, whether that's GVHD, like graft-versus-host from bone marrow transplant, fertility issues, people going through IVF, men going through their own fertility issues that, you know, they may not speak about. It's more women that speak about it, but men have that same issue as well. So I want to create that space where young adults can come together and do stuff and help. And
yeah. I'm so excited. I think your next chapter is going to be amazing. I'm so excited. I could just see you with a whole community, and I could just see you pouring love into every individual that comes into your circle. And you just have so much love to give. Where do you keep it? Where is it stored at?
It's stored nowhere, because I give it all. I keep a little bit, but I give it all, because we live in a world that's really, it's really bad. It's really dark. So why not spread love and peace and whatnot around, because it's so dark. Like everything is bad. So why not, every time you see me, see a smile on my face. See me say hi to you. How you doing? What's going on? Like, I just... Every day I wake up, I'm blessed, because, like, I could be 6 feet under. What was it, 6 feet?
6 feet. Yeah, I think six feet.
Something like that. I could be under. And so I really feel like I don't want to take life for granted, because there was a time where there's all this that I'm doing now, I couldn't do. Like, I didn't have the strength. I couldn't do it. And then just meeting you, I feel like it's divine, because like I value and I appreciate you, Debbie Ann, honestly, because you brought me into the cancer world as far as bone marrow transplant and helping, and then hearing your story with your mom, like, I want to cry, but don't make me cry.
Don't make me cry.
But like, I really value and I appreciate you, and I see you. I see you for you and all that you do and the positivity and how you move. And like, it's just like,
you're so cute. Thank you. You know, I'm not the one to, what did I tell you one time? We were somewhere and I said, I need to learn how to receive compliments from others, because I do what comes to my heart to do. And sometimes people are like, oh, you helped me with this. And I'm like, and it's not like I'm blowing you off. It's just that I feel like, well, you don't need to thank me. Because it comes from such a genuine place.
But that's what needs to be thanked.
I'm being better. And I love you for saying that. And I didn't pay her, guys. I didn't pay her.
No, she didn't pay me. She didn't pay me. I got to give her a props, because she, honestly, you're a good person. You have a genuine heart. And I love you, W. Oh,
I love you, too. And I, you know, cancer was bad, but it was good because it brought us together. Mm-hmm. It pretty Blessings. Much gave you such a powerful testimony, and you are now doing what God told you to do, which is go out there and be Amanda and help others and be a blessing to others, and you know, just everything that should make you not want to come out your house and everything that should make you want to stay in your bed and pull the covers over your head, you've decided that it was fuel, and so you're going to put your 8-inch heels on, mm-hmm. and you're going to walk out there and you're going to be like, hello, I'm here. Yes. And that was the thing that I loved about you. I'm like, first of all, I was like, she's a little hyper.
No coffee, no energy drink, you know.
Yes, but I love that. I love that the things that were sent to break you didn't.
Yeah.
And so you are not a broken person. Mm-hmm. You sit in front of me as an amazing single young lady.
I'm putting these single streets.
I'm putting it out there, but you know, you're just incredible. You're incredible, and every single time that I get an opportunity to speak with you, or we, you know, talk about a patient, or we're helping someone, you blow my mind. You're just always ready to help.
I'm ready. Yeah.
You're armed. You're like suited up. Let's go.
Yeah. Be prepared. I prayed for this, so I mean, you got to be prepared. I prayed. Be prepared. Don't pray it and not be prepared. Like, be prepared.
You're ready. I love it. And then, so on Valentine's Day, I know it's pole dancing next. You know, you were doing your light walk,
yeah.
And now it's pole dancing,
yeah.
For the next part of your day. But what do you like to do on Valentine's Day? Since it's Valentine's Day, and the audience, they're nosy. They're gonna want to know.
Well, look, I'm not shy of taking myself out. Like, just because I'm single doesn't mean I'm not gonna take myself out. So I'm definitely gonna get dolled up. And I'm going to take myself to go eat. And then, you know, later on I'll cuddle with my dogs and whatnot. I even got my little sweater on right now that says my dogs are my Valentine.
I know. I love it.
But it goes back to self-love. Like, even though you don't have a date or anything, take your girlfriends out. Take yourself out. I preferably would like females to take themselves out, because I don't know, a lot of my friends, when I ask them, hey, you ever take yourself out on a date, and they'll say, no, that's weird, by myself? No, yeah, get to know yourself. Know yourself first, and then when someone comes along, you can be like, well, I know what I like and whatnot. It's not discover it while you're discovering someone else.
Oh my God, that's so powerful. Because you know I talk about that, right? Mm-hmm. You know I found out that I love dating myself, right? Mm-hmm. I love going on dates,
okay.
Ordering what I want to do, yeah. What I want to eat, sitting in my quietness, mm-hmm. journaling. Mm-hmm. I love it. And I love that you recognize that and you practice it. Because it's so important. We should not be ashamed if we're single on Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. We should not be afraid to go out because it's a Valentine. First of all, Valentine's Day should be every day for a sister.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well, for, you know, a sister. You know, a guy, whatever, whomever you are. Valentine's Day is every day. Yeah. Love on yourself.
Yeah.
So that's important to know what you like. Because mm-hmm. you know when you start, like, dating yourself, mm-hmm. you start figuring out, like, what people tell you like, mm-hmm. you don't like.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Exactly. And so you're like, but why did I like that? Mm-hmm. Because you were pleasing someone. You were doing it because it was pleasing to someone else. But then you start recognizing, right? So it's so on your single journey, anything you've learned that could be of benefit to the audience that might be sitting at home that's single?
Honestly, I dating myself, I've learned a lot of what I won't take and what I will take, and just getting to know yourself. I really feel like a big part of that is self-healing, so I definitely want to be the person who wants to love like I've never been hurt before, and so I've taken this time in my single season to stewardship it well. So get my finances in order. I'm praying for a husband, so I would like to be able to do that where I can be debt free when I meet my future husband or husband, fiance, whatever. I want to be able to be debt free with that, and so I'm stewarding my finances now. And then as far as completing myself by myself, like most people, you hear that saying, when I met you, you complete me. No, I'm complete on my own, and when I meet you, yes! We complement each other, and on individually we are working in our purposes, but then when we come together, we complement each other, and we are pushing on each other as far as complementing our purposes together as a union. And so, like, I'm just kind of like, get whole on your own, Amanda, because when you come together with your purpose partner, that's it. And I want to out love one another. Like, I want to out love.
You know I'm dancing, right? Because I feel like I'm like over here your cheerleader right now. Yes, yes, girl, get it. Because mm-hmm. I love that. I absolutely love that. And I think it's so important for us to recognize mm-hmm. those qualities, because we should never put ourselves on a back burner and wait for someone to bring something to you that you could go get, you know? And, you know, a lot of times people will say, well, I can't do this until I have this.
No.
Or I can't go here till I have a partner. Mm. Or I'm just going to feel weird sitting down at the table and eating a meal by myself. And, you know, all these restrictions that mm-hmm. we've placed on ourselves that doesn't belong to us. It's man-made. Yeah. Someone once told you that, and it trickled down to you, or someone told someone else and someone brought it to you, and you took it on. And I know I talk about unpacking all the time, mm-hmm. but that's so important too.
Yeah.
Like, we got to unpack stuff that don't belong to us. We need to let it go. So when you say that, girl, you're warming my heart, because I'm so proud.
Yeah, because you if you're not healed and you get in a relationship, then the person you're with has to deal with that broken child within you. And so sometimes when you lash out, it may not be you, it may be that broken child inside. And now I'm dealing with that child that wasn't healed. And then I'm also trying to deal with the adult you. That's a lot. That's a lot to put on someone. And I'm a big believer. Like I tell you, when you pray about some, so faith without works is dead. So you need to do the work now in your single season. And so then you're prepared. So if you're not prepared and your person comes, you can self-sabotage. Mm. You can sabotage the relationship. Yes. Because you're not prepared. You asked for it. But the like Pastor Todd would say, the blessing is bamboozling you now because you didn't prepare for it.
Yes.
You wanted it, but you didn't prepare it, and now
you
that
didn't
you have
any
it,
space in your closet, right?
Yeah,
it couldn't fit in. Mm. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that, and that is so true. You do have to be ready and prepare to accept what you're asking for, because mm-hmm. you manifest things, and sometimes you're like, why isn't it coming through? But do you have space for it? Have you unpacked the other things that don't belong?
And sometimes it comes through, and then it slaps you in the face, and you're like, what happened?
Because you're not ready. So that is so good. Mm-hmm. That is so good. And you know I love that. I love to hear you say that, because I'm always preaching that. I'm yeah. a big person on healing yourself, because you can't be of help to anyone if you're unhealed.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go save you if I need a light first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? First of all, if you're in water, you know I'm not coming, right?
Yeah. You should, Debbie. But you know, the hair.
Listen, I'm going to be honest, because my friends that are listening, they're going to be like, she said she'll get in the water for you? No, girl. I like taking showers, let's be clear. But yeah, you can't give your life vest to somebody else when you need it.
Yeah.
Because you won't be of any help to them. You're now in the same boat they are, which is drowning. So it's super important what you said. And I hope the audience really, because I felt that. I felt that. So it's so deep, but it's so true. And to me, it's like, I can't say it's simple, because a lot of individuals are still working on themselves.
It's hard.
It's hard. And it's okay for whatever level you're at, mm-hmm. you know? Like, don't try to match anyone's season. And that's what I love about you. You do you all the time.
Oh, yeah, I stay in my lane. Don't look in no other lane. Just stay in your lane. Look, I can't... I tell people, how you going to give from an empty well? Like, if you empty inside and you just giving, you giving air now. Like, you destroying yourself, giving yourself to someone, and you don't have it. You're not healed. You're just... surviving.
I love that. Yes, and that is true. You cannot help others if you can't help yourself. And you definitely need to pour into yourself as much as you're wanting to pour into others too.
Yeah, I definitely, I have to admit, I struggle with that, because I'm very giving. I'm very giving. And so this season right now, I'm working on making more time for myself and doing that, so that I have an equal balance, and nothing is off balance. Because look, I go hard for my family and my friends.
I see you.
If I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. And if I can, I'll come and contact you and let you know I can't do it, but I'm going to do it this way. So I make sure it gets done. But I'm a woman of my word, and I definitely... Like, it goes back to that character and the integrity. But I definitely need a balance, so I'm working on...
You're setting the boundaries we talk about.
Healthy boundaries, yes.
Yes, you need those boundaries. It's super important. I have a friend that always reminds me of that. You need boundaries. but it is true. And it makes you a better you.
Yeah.
It's a better version of yourself. Mm-hmm. And to go back with not competing with others, we need to... as females, stop looking at, you know, everything as competition,
mm-hmm.
right? We don't have to compete with each other. Mm-hmm. We could uplift each other and help each other and cheer each other on. But sometimes I feel like you're in a circle where it's like a competition.
Yeah, it happens.
And yeah, and we need to stop doing that. How do you deal with that, being the kind of firecracker you are, the spicy Amanda?
I'm like... I don't know. Like, I humble myself. I keep myself humble. Like, I you know, because, you know, when they say when you get proud, proud comes a fall afterwards, shortly afterwards.
Takes you down.
Yeah, so I stay humble. And then I always remind myself, like, I may not be the voice. I may be the arm. Or somebody may be the toe. And somebody might be the mind. And somebody might be the eyes. And somebody might be the ear. All of it, individually, none of it works. But together, we work. We get things done. So, like, I need my ear, I need my eye, I need my toe. And so that's how I see the women that I surround myself with. I can't sing for a lick, but my friend, she can blow a house down. I have the athletic ability. I got the muscle. We can do this. Other people have the artistic side.
Yes.
So combining all that together, it's the way I go with the powerhouse. Like, I just keep humble with knowing that every woman has a talent or something special about them, that when we come together, it makes something great. But individually, if we do it by ourselves and think we can do it all, we gonna fall.
That's good, because we need each other, mm-hmm. you know, and we're stronger in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I love having you in my circle. So I love knowing you, because I know, like, I could be like, Amanda, I need to be motivated to go to the gym.
Let's go. Let's do this.
and you're already like, yes. But one of the things that I noticed in the 2 years of knowing you is your growth towards, you know, just your happiness. You know, how you started setting boundaries. You're working on them.
No, I'm working
but we
on.
Talk about that all the time, about setting boundaries. And, you know, you taking time for yourself. You're about to travel.
Yes.
I'm excited. And so was that hard for you to just be like, this is what Amanda needs? Because it's difficult, right, to say this is what Amanda needs.
Yeah, in the beginning, I was always used to saying yes, yes, yes. And then I became the enemy because I started putting those boundaries down. Healthy boundaries, but I started becoming the enemy because I kept saying yes for so long. And now I like to say that I'm Superwoman. I love Superwoman, but I'm not Superwoman. Like, I'm only me, and I can only do so much, and I need help from others. So those healthy boundaries had to be put in place.
I love it. I love it. So really, we were supposed to do an interview, but I love this discussion.
Me too.
You're so amazing. It's like so natural to sit and talk with you. You know, you don't drink coffee, but you...
I got this hot chocolate. It's freezing.
You got the hot chocolate. We're outdoors, and it's so fun. And I thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And before we go, though, I want you to share your IG with everyone so that they could go follow you and keep up with your journey. Because I know there's big things to come for you. And I'm there to cheer you on. So I'm obviously going to share it. But just in case someone's listening and want to get a little bit more in depth with your story, I know you have a lot of things on your IG that pertains to the cancer journey you went through and also what you're currently doing now. Because you're competing, girl. Don't leave that out.
Oh, yes. I compete in pole dancing. But I have to say, like, my IG is A Brunson 7. So A Brunson, B-R-U-N-S-O-N, the number 7. And then I'm having a brain fart for a second.
That's okay. We understand that. And anyone that knows the cancer journey knows that
sometimes chemo brain.
Chemo happens. And we listen, it's okay. Take your moment. But so your IG, you shared it.
Yes.
And then you're competing.
I'm competing.
So do you have any upcoming dates that you're going to participate in?
I'm waiting for the dates to roll out. They haven't come out yet. So I'm waiting for those to come. I'm just forewarned, I am a unique panda unicorn. I'm a different kind of breed. So you're going to find all kind of stuff on my pages, dancing, charity, work. I also work for the blood cancer.
One second. Go ahead. Sorry.
I also work for blood cancer. So you can always find me on bloodcancer.com, where I talk to other cancer patients. And there's other advocates out there who can also help you in your journey if you're dealing with the cancer world, the cancer, I call it Jumanji. Yeah.
I love it. So there's a lot to you and a lot to your story. And so I respect you, when I go to your page. I love learning new things. So it's fine for me. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be you. So I love it. But I know you got to go because we got this pole dancing
class
coming up. And I might run, but, I feel like she's
going
to drag me.
She's
but,
not going
to I think.
You're going to shake a little thigh.
Like, I'm probably going to fall. But it was so nice catching up and just having to sit down with you and just to hear what's going on and to hear your personal growth, because that's the part that I love the most. Mm. When I, to see your journey and see how it unfolds and see how you've embodied everything. You've just like, this is who Amanda is, and that is important. So thank you so much for sharing your story with Adding Chapters audience today. And we'll have to follow up. We'll definitely do a follow up because I could chat with you for hours because there's so much to cover. But I want to say happy Valentine's.
Happy Valentine's.
Yes, happy Valentine's to the audience. May all your wishes come true.
Yes.
And remember, you can love on yourself. You don't need someone to love on you.
This is true.
But it's okay, too, if you got someone to love on you.
That's a bonus.
It's a bonus. But the most important thing is be kind to yourself.
Yeah.
So until next time, to the Add In Chapters audience, love, peace, and happiness.